Hello out there and welcome. My name is Sharon Froschen. I am the Chief Operating Officer of the Discover Your Path You platform, where we believe that every life can teach and everyone can grow. To that end, I'm also the host of this show, The Connection Sessions, where we bring together practitioners, entrepreneurs, marketers, artists, spiritualists, mentors, and students in an effort to connect to community, learn from each other, and grow. Today I have with me somebody who always lights my face up with a smile, always makes me laugh, somebody that has really been a mainstay in my life as far as my humor is concerned, somebody I can play off of, and somebody I have known professionally for quite some time, Michelle Wiseman. Michelle is not only an amazing multidisciplinary practitioner, but she is also someone who is striving to create a new mindset in coaching, in that we are often taught that you can't coach someone until they're ready. But Michelle is out here trying to get the message out there that we can be the inspiration that gets someone ready to change. And for that, Michelle, thank you. So why don't you just share with us how you came to life coaching and what gave you this vision for the way that you approach the world and your profession?
Hi, Sharon. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for having me. Okay. When we talk about the foundation of hope, we all want to help people. We don't want to fix people. We want to help and support people. I found within my journey a lot of people not having any faith or hope that anything can be bigger or better than they already have. I'm talking from personal experience of people I've met recently. So where I'm at with my business, my life, the impacts I'm making at the moment is for where I'm at on a personal level and a geographical level. It's about hope that just because parents, grandparents, siblings have mental health issues, labels, you know, there's meetup groups for everybody with all the labels we can think possible of anxiety, depression. It's incredible. And they all live within this label and they don't believe they can get any more from out of that.
Yes.
And I want to build a foundation of hope that even with all those labels, we can get rid of them and proceed in life to become better, to become the change that we need. We need to become the change. From the inside out, as we all know, from the inside out, that's what I want to try and build.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love the focusing on not only being the person that's present for the client, but also being the one who inspires that client to believe that there's even a possibility or room for change, because it's so easy for us as life coaches sometimes to get caught in the mind games that are life coaching. That's what life coaching is. It's cracking open the brain to have a different view of our reality. And we get so caught in that we forget that sitting across from us is a human being who's terrified. If they weren't terrified, they probably wouldn't be looking for our help.
No. It's also about, okay, to inspire somebody to actually look for a life coach, I think, like you say, we need to be at a point. We need to be at a point to be helped, to be helped by a coach. And there are some amazing coaches out there across the board, all different levels, all different, from all different walks of life. And this has been an experience that I've experienced within different communities, within life coaching. But there's still a lot of people underneath that don't even believe that world that they could ever exist in.
Yeah. That's so true. We have a tendency to, so when you consider our diet is more than just our food that we put into our body. It's the media that we consume. It's the music that we listen to. It's the people that we hang around. And when we exist in a modern Western culture where, you know, most, I don't know about the UK, but here in the United States, the news almost every night begins with 10 things in your house that could kill you, film at 11, you know, that kind of driving fear, and then we end up shrinking into such a small little space trying to protect ourselves that we lose our ability to reach out and to grasp for the better things that could be where we open to perceive them.
Yes, it's out of our grasp. That's for other people, successful people, people with money, like you say, people with the education. Where I live is quite a poor area. There isn't a lot of inspiration within the town or locally. They have a label for themselves of not being very motivated, very educated people. Yeah. So yeah, that feeling there, it's like, no, there's more, come on, wake up. I want to help. Building the foundation is about allowing people to actually, you're not really awake, wake up, and let's give it a go.
Absolutely. So, we have Misty Flanagan here who says, OMFG, it's Michelle, multiple exclamation points. She's hitting that heart button like she might break her phone.
Hiya, Misty.
Ashley Venzen of A&M Emotional Skills Development Academy. Wow. We have Becky Stokes, who is here to catch up with you. Wow. So a bunch of viewers here to see you and to hear your message. So if you had to give a client just a few sentences to help them start in that building the foundation of hope that they can get beyond where they are, what would some of those sentences be?
Oh, great question. I think it's fundamental I think it goes a lot back to the, obviously, about the definition, the how we actually define them ourselves. Mm-hmm. So one big thing for me is, if we actually just on the first day is accept that we're actually doing the best we can with what we have.
Ah, that's a good one.
You know, and start, it's a great starting point. And today, from this point on, you know, not defining ourselves by our past, but using our past as the vehicle, you know, where we don't get stuck in the port of the past. So yes, that you are doing the best you can with what you have. I think the most important thing is just meeting people where they're at. Some people just with a simple, you know, where you are, what's going on? What do you want? Dream a little. I love getting people to dream a little.
Yeah.
And then working back. I mean, without going into coaching technicality, you know, technicalities, but future pacing is amazing. Take people somewhere, get them to feel it, get them to sense it, get them to, you know, to light that fire. So yeah, a great question. What lights your fire? What gets you out of bed in the morning?
Yeah, we fail to understand that our emotional states literally charge everything. That's what we're all running on, is emotion. All of us.
Yeah.
If we're locked down and depressed, we're running on sadness. If we're out there and engaging the world, sometimes frantically so, we're running on happiness and that sensation of everything's okay, and we get lost in the idea that I have to create in order to charge myself, and nothing's ever been less true than that. It's about us and our emotional states, how we feel inside. That's what decides what we create. Wouldn't you agree?
Most definitely. I think that's something that over the last couple of years, it's okay reading the books, studying the courses, getting practiced, even being coaching. But until you find out who you are and where your source comes from, I wasn't sure where happiness comes from. Put you with people, a few balloons, party, happiness. Yeah, great. It's not sustainable. So where do I get my source of energy from? Where do I get my source of my sources? You know, where do I get my source from? And
I love the who am I questions. I think that in life coaching, so often it's so easy to lose our authenticity in the idea that, well, I learned it this way from someone, and if I exactly replicate what they did, then I'll be successful. And as powerful as some of those coaches are out there, as powerful as Tony Robbins is, as powerful as Kane Ramsey, who you and I both learned coaching under, as powerful as these men and women are, when we try to do it exactly the same way as another person, we are literally shoveling our authenticity out the door, and that's where all of our power is. So how would you help a client who's lost in that belief, or as you spoke of being asleep in that belief of, if I do it exactly the way this person did it, then I'll be happy? How do you help them awake to the fact that, no, it's you, it's the way you do things, it's what makes you happy?
The most important thing, something that comes naturally, is I like to know what makes people tick. It's just something that fascinates me. It's I've always been a people watcher. So by people's gestures, it's like, you know, I make lots of assumptions, etc. But it's also given me lots of insights. What makes people tick? It's those people don't know who they are. We really don't know who we are. And to get to know who we are, it's not a case of sat there going, oh, I'm creative, I'm this, I'm that, I'm the other. But what is it that makes me tick in those, finding those sources that were important to me? Why do I react? Who am I? And that's something I think nobody can take you there.
Nobody can take you there.
You go there yourself when the time is right. And I think the time has to be right.
Yes.
Some people are very good using meditation and relaxation. This is it. How? I don't know. But you get to a certain point of, you want to know who you are. For things to function. Okay, I'll give you an example. We hear how organized, highly effective people are and how organized they are. I tried it. It doesn't work for me.
Me either.
And it just doesn't work. I know what I need to do. And it's about trusting myself that in this day that I need to do X, Y, and Z. You know, so it's about finding what functions for me. Trial and error. It's all about trial and error. And forgiveness if it doesn't go right, and learning from what goes wrong, and just keep moving forward and enjoy the excavation. It's an excavation, I think, to find your truths.
Yeah, it's like a sculptor removing stone from a block to reveal what's beneath.
What's beneath, yeah. And do I really truly know who I am? No, not yet. I'm still there, you know, digging away. I'm beginning to like what I'm finding. Which is huge, because from them. And I that's why I hope to, you know, to be able to inspire other people that you can be at that point of no return. I mean, that point of no return, piling the labels on, believing that there is no hope for you, and then come out the other side and
flourish.
Yeah, flourish. Yeah. Just become who you really are. It's as simple as that. There's that thing inside of us screaming to get out, and I just want to help people open the doors into themselves.
Absolutely. I love that you spoke of trial and error too, because for so many of us, especially here in Western culture, error and failing are not only frowned upon, they're considered to be like something that's extremely negative. And yet, if you look at any of the greats like Einstein or Tesla or people who have truly absolutely flourished in their fields, the majority of the work that they've done has actually been failure in between the great successes. And we push failure away like there's something wrong with it, when really it's our best teacher. So how do you help someone who's thoroughly locked into the mindset that failure is bad begin to really own that as failing forward?
There you go. That's a key word there, is owning it, owning those failures. The ownership there is the key word. We're not defined by what we've got right, wrong, you know, good, bad. We only define on if we continue defining ourselves by them. So by taking ownership of it and just putting those hands up and saying, you know what, you know, no excuses. This is what I did. Right, wrong, good, bad. And it is tough, but you know, in the end, actually, Sharon, it's not difficult. No. If you really want to do it, it's not. And I think that's the scary thing I'm realizing more and more each day. We make it so complicated. When it's really, if we're truthful and honest with ourselves and we're just there and we're just exploring, I don't know. So going forward, but exploring at the same time, so simple.
It's almost too simple for us.
Yeah, sometimes I go to overanalyze it, of course. Something so simple, of course, you have to overanalyze it. And it's not black and white, obviously. You know, people that, you know, we all come with our baggage. experience. We all come with our pasts, our, you know, the things we carried around for years, our scars. But can't go back and change them.
And I think that's where thought kind of enters the picture and helps to really trip us up, is this, we begin to think about the failure. And then from thinking about the failure comes, you know, well, what will they think of me? And as Joseph Campbell, one of the most prolific mythologists of the 20th century, said, what will they think of me must be set aside for bliss, for pursuing who we really are. So when you think of a client who's really struggling with getting beyond that point of what will they think of me, what are some of the ways that you might help them release that attachment to really go out and pursue their own bliss?
Because it comes back again to defining those areas of as a negative, taking that person back to that situation, seeing them from a different perspective, what they can learn from it. What does it serve them still carrying that negative feeling behind something? I've made some many errors and hurt many people. We carry them. Forgiveness is a huge part also.
Yeah.
We have to just forgive ourselves. We're imperfect human beings. And yeah, no bad intentions and all that. Yeah, we can, you know, wake up in the morning, feel black and angry, and yeah, intentionally open this before listening here, of course. But hurt people hurts. It's that forgiveness, Sharon. I think that forgiveness, we are, yeah, imperfect.
And it's funny, you look at all the religious systems of the world that are constantly, you know, asking us to forgive, but how do we forgive the people around us when we can't even forgive ourselves? Like, we can't even acknowledge that we're going to make mistakes, and that's okay, and it's a part of finding our own authenticity. And then a teacher like Jesus comes along and says that the golden rule is to love others the way you want to be loved, and that's exactly the problem. Many of us are loving others the way we think we want to be loved because we don't understand ourselves. And we don't know how to love ourselves. So our extension of love to someone else with the best of intentions doesn't look anything like love because we don't understand how to embrace that for ourselves. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, definitely. Self-love is love. I think, like you say, we're all very free with the word love. Mm-hmm. And I think it's something where we intuitively have. But yes, that... it's so much easier to give to somebody else. How do we give it to ourselves? And that's been it's the core. Without it, we cannot move forward and continue moving forward. It's going to keep coming and biting us. I see it as my self-care comes and bites us every now and again to make us realize that there's still areas that we're not caring for ourselves. It's that awareness of, okay, what I'm having resistance here, or there's that intuitive, there's something going on. And 9 times out of 10, Sharon, I found that it's down to that self-care, that self-love, that self-forgiveness, yeah. That other label that I've stuck on. I get rid of one and put on another one. So it's just a continual thing, and the habits of that.
Yeah.
Do they say 21 days, is it? You know, I don't mean I can't stand in front of the mirror and tell myself I'm lovely. It just doesn't do it for me. but I can take actions that build that self-love.
Which is ultimately what we're doing the repetitions in the mirror for anyways. It's not just for the fun of standing there and having a conversation with ourselves. It's to inspire an internal change that results in different behavior towards ourselves and others. So sometimes being able to forego the mirror and just start the behavior is just as powerful as the mirror, because that's what we're ultimately aiming for anyways, is that behavioral change.
Exactly. It's becoming that change.
Yes.
You know, Rome wasn't built in a day, and just embrace it, as we were talking earlier, exploit, embrace, appreciate, and keep these open to what's going on and that heart, feel it.
Whatever's there, experience it instead of wishing that it wasn't what it is or was something else. Just being present in the moment and flowing with it.
Yeah, flowing with it without being, away with the fairies on it, you know, which I could do also, being excuse, oh, I'm just away with the fairies. But like you say, being present, experiencing it, you know, warts and all. I call it grey hairs, wrinkles, warts and all. It's, you know, experience it all, the good, the bad, the ugly.
And that's actually where our power is, because when we find that stride where we're dead center in what actually is, instead of striving against what is or striving for what isn't, that's when we're actually present in that moment to be that co-creator of our lives, to own what is, to work with what is, and to create from what is.
Yeah, that co-creator, I like that one. Yes.
I really love the fact that what you're focusing on is inspiration, because ultimately all the changes that we make come from within. There's nobody that can force us to decide something different. It has to be a decision that we make. And don't we get more flies with honey than we do with vinegar, with judgment and with cruelty and with, well, if I treat them a certain way badly enough, they'll decide to change. That stuff just doesn't work. It's being there present for people and inspiring them to be their own best selves, not to be what I want them to be.
Yeah, and we have the opportunity to do that in every moment, with every interaction that we have.
We do.
You know, it doesn't have to be out there on a big business scale, or you know, that hope that somebody's actually noticed you today. You know, that for me just fills me with joy.
And we do get lost in the idea that it has to be big. You know, I have to have a gold record song released, or I have to, you know, be the top earner on Wall Street today, or I have to have a movie that's come out to much acclaim. And we strive for these ridiculous notions that if I push myself hard enough, I'll be worthy, when the whole time we already were.
Yeah.
We already were.
Yeah. Yeah, pure and simple. Yeah, as pure, as simple, as beautiful.
I love it. Yeah. Well, we are at the end of our interview.
Yeah. Wow.
It goes by really fast. I just want to take a moment to thank you so much for being with me here today, Michelle. I loved catching up with you before the interview, and I absolutely love the message that you're bringing to the world. And to our viewers, to Nina, to Misty, to Kimberly, to Becky, to Ashley, to all the people here that are hungry for a message like this, hungry for a foundation of hope to spring from. Thank you guys for watching, and thank you for being here. And as everybody knows, we will be back here tomorrow, same place, same time, for yet another connection session with another amazing individual like Michelle. So Michelle, thank you so much for being here today. I really enjoyed it. And I will make sure that you get your YouTube video and your podcast this afternoon. Thank you again.
Thank you.
And to everybody out there watching, you know I love you.